Hello, it's Bob here.
This is Nadia. Thank you so much for your time and willingness to share your thoughts with me. My husband and I have known you for almost a decade. And
it's been a long time.
A huge inspiration for both of us, as well as for the millions of people who read your books in different languages, including Russian and Ukrainian. And because I helped to translate your Love Does, your first New York Times bestseller, into Russian, I learned a lot about you and your family. And I was really fascinated by how some of the challenges you faced resonate with the experiences of millions of Ukrainians affected by war. And your perspective is really helpful for all of us in navigating shared struggles. So thanks again for doing this. And so the first thing I want to say is that with the war in Ukraine entering its third year, people affected by it have one and only dream for this horrific war to end. I know that you have a dream to stop a war too. As a lawyer, diplomat, and philanthropist, you help people from many war-torn countries like Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, and now Ukraine. What motivates you to leave behind your beautiful, cozy home in sunny California and go to such dangerous places to keep working on making your dream come true?
Yeah, I think we can each make lasting differences in different ways. And the courageous people of Ukraine that are fighting for their country, just doing brave things. And some people that are not there but have people that are deeply affected by the war. I think together, if we can conquer some of the things that cause us to be divided and at the same time stand up for what's right. Mm-hmm. And seeing the Ukrainians do that has just been so encouraging to me. These are courageous people doing courageous things. And then the Ukrainian community that's outside the country, to see the way that they are rallying around their country and their friends, it's just really inspiring.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for supporting Ukrainians. And in a world with so much evil and hate, people tend to isolate themselves from others more and more. And you put your phone number on the back of your book with millions of copies sold. When people reach out to you for help, you like to say yes. You said yes to this interview. Your intentional openness and availability are real marvel. What is your secret? How do you maintain your unique brand of being a yes person in such a world?
Well, I think each of us has things that we're good at. Some people have a lot of wealth, and some people have a lot of knowledge about a particular area. But the one thing that we can each control, whether you're wealthy or not wealthy, whether you have successful businesses or not, is we can decide how available we'll be. And it won't cost you any money, but it'll cost you 5 minutes. And so I've just enjoyed how that is one thing that we can be, the people that have changed the world, Jesus, Gandhi, the leaders that have made the biggest difference were always the ones who were most available. And the ones that sometimes are popular in our culture become unavailable. Think of any movie star that you've really enjoyed, the chances that you'll be able to reach them on the phone or to have some coffee with them or zero. And somehow as a society, we started accepting that. And I'm not frustrated at those people. I just know that the people that change the world are always the most available. You know, find me a person who's available and I'll find you a person who's making a big difference. And I like the idea that some people are just available to other popular people. So if you're the big pastor of a church, you might just be available to the other big pastors of churches. But if you say, I'm just going to be available to everybody, whoever calls, here's my phone number.
Right. Yeah, that's really fascinating. Well, thank you. Thank you for being such an inspiration in this too, because this is really not common in our society for sure. So another thing, war impacts everyone, but children suffer the most. And your nonprofit organization, Love Does, opens schools all over the world for children affected by war. Your school for Ukrainian refugees in Poland was highlighted by President Zelensky himself. Why do you put such great emphasis on education?
If we can train up the next generation with really solid academics, that they just know how to read and write and just the very basics of education, then we give them these building blocks to launch. So if we can give them just a solid start, particularly communities that are impacted by war. So in each of the countries mm-hmm. that Love Does is operating in, that is a common mm-hmm. thing. Like Ukraine mm-hmm. Is in a war, and we are in Afghanistan and in Somalia mm-hmm. and in Uganda and 13 yeah. countries, and all of the 13 countries or in some version, or just on the other side of a civil war, or Ukraine is being oppressed by a neighboring country.
Yeah.
So what we try to do is not disrupt this time so that we don't lose mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years of education for the kids. Just across yeah. from where you are right now in Coronado, we have a border
yeah.
in Mexico, and mm-hmm. there are so much attention yeah. being placed on that border. There are 500 children mm-hmm. of these families that have been out of school for a couple of years while they're waiting to legally process. So we've yeah. just opening up a school in Mexico, just over the border.
Oh.
So I think if we see
oh, wow.
where people are and then do mm-hmm. something about it. And for each person listening, mm-hmm. you don't need to start a whole school. Just take an interest in yeah. one of the kids that's nearby. Ask them what they're dreaming about. Ask them whether they make some time. Do an experiment with them to say, have you ever seen a little miniature rocket launch into the air? And say you have the parachute come out and drop bike. So mm-hmm. all of a sudden they're interested in the stars and the moon. And I think we can all
yeah.
be educators in that way. So you can do it to scale. We've decided
yeah.
to do it at a little bigger scale, but I think what is equally important or even more effective is the time we mm-hmm. spend with somebody that we know, whether it's your kid or the mm-hmm. kid next door.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely. We just have a new family arrived from Ukraine, and she's already in school, and I was able to spend some time with her. It was such a blessing.
Yeah, I love that.
Just to see... Yeah, and she left Ukraine 2 years ago. Then they were in Europe. Then she relocated here, and it seems like she has like a salad in her brain out of different languages.
Yeah,
still, you know, she's such a sponge and really really a blessing. So, yeah, well, thank you for that. And another question I want to talk about is that millions of people were displaced because of the war in Ukraine. Thousands of them lost their homes because they were destroyed by Russian rockets. I know that you can relate to that, because one day you learned that your home in Canada, where you have created so many good memories with your family and friends, was burned to the ground. How was it for you to get such devastating news, and where did you find the strength to rebuild it?
Yeah, I think we all have setbacks, small and large. The mm-hmm. thing about pain and loss is that it's not graded on a curve. Just what's painful is painful, mm-hmm. whether it's a big thing or a mm-hmm. small thing or a health emergency mm-hmm. for someone that you love. But sometimes what we do is we get locked in that loss, like because it's very traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
You lose, maybe it's
yeah.
a home that burns down. It might be a relationship that burned down or a dream mm-hmm. that burned down. But we get locked in there. And I think that prevents us sometimes from moving forward. So to mm-hmm. experience a loss, whatever that is, a loss of a friend, a loved one, a career, maybe being estranged from a child that you love, but to understand that that was really painful, and then to look for help in going forward. I'm a man of faith, and so faith guides my steps forward. For other people, if faith isn't a guiding force in their life, they'll have other things that guide them. But I would say those things that you can rely on the most are the important things to help you go forward, not to remain stuck. Had we just had this lodge burned down and then had never done anything else and walked away, I would have been like a bad ending to the story. So we thought a better ending to this story is we're going to rebuild it. And so maybe the bad ending to the story is losing a job. And then a better ending to the story would be to get a better one. A bad ending to the story would be to have a relationship that went sideways. And a better ending would to be find a newer relationship that's even better for you. So I would say for the people listening, find a better ending to the story than the one that you were presented with.
Oh, well, that's really good. Yeah, that's so true, because it can be so overwhelming. And when one thing adds to another, it's very hard to kind of get out of it. But you're right, it's best for us to do it. Well, with the war in Ukraine, it's kind of adding to this question, turning into a global issue more and more. People hold to their own opinions and do not want to hear what others have to say. It has already ruined many families, friendships, and partnerships. People cut each other off, and it's very, very painful. As a diplomat, you have fostered dialogues between high-ranking officials in your living room, but at the same time, you have to live with the fact that your sister does not want to speak with you for so many years now. Do you think it's still worth trying to reestablish communication, no matter how hopeless the situation might seem?
I think we can do something where we guard our hearts, and there will be some people that you'll have to enjoy from a distance, that having them close in your life is not going to be something that's good for you, and it may not be good for them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that we don't continue to labor for other people so that they can find their way forward. With the war in Ukraine, I think people, I bet, around the globe have an opinion about it. But I think our opinions ought to be subordinate or secondary to what the opinions of the people directly affected are. So it really matters to me a lot more what a Ukrainian thinks than what I think. So if we could just take a humble attitude to realize we're watching things on the news and reading things and all that, but we haven't experienced firsthand some of the suffering that people here through family members are experiencing. So I just think if we were humble about that and realize that we're not experiencing it, and so to be humble. There's nothing worse than when you have something that goes really wrong in your life, and then somebody says, I know exactly how you feel, because they don't know exactly how I feel. So if we could take a humble role in saying, what does it feel like to be you right now? Whether it's somebody like yourself that has loved ones in Ukraine that are affected, or someone who is in Ukraine. I'm going to be going over to a university in Ukraine and speaking here in the coming months. And so when I go, I'll just be humble, like to just say, I'm not going to bring my opinions. I'm going to bring my empathy.
Thousands of people have lost their lives, and even more got physically injured or psychologically traumatized because of this horrific war. In her book, Love Lives Here, your dear wife, Sweet Marie, shares about that horrible trauma that she had to go through. It's so hard to watch our loved ones suffering. How did you cope with it, and what did you do to help Sweet Marie heal?
Yeah, I think Maria had someone in her past when she was really young that did something really awful to her. And that person is no longer around. When she was able to get real with what had gone on and what happened, we got some great counselors involved, I would say, for people that have suffered some trauma or some setbacks. Having a trusted voice, a trusted counselor, can be a wonderful addition.
Yeah.
And then my role in that is just to be really supportive, to say whatever it takes, let's get you the resources that you need. And for me, I just want to be a safe place. I think if there was more people that wanted to be known for how safe they were rather than all their opinions, we would resolve a lot of problems. We'd get better faster. So my role is just to be a safe place, not to have opinions, but to protect and to guard and to make people like Maria feel safe while she's getting the input from counselors and other people she needs. So I would say for our friends in Ukraine or people that are been traumatized because they have loved ones that are suffering, to find some help. There's some great counselors out there. Talking to people about your feeling is a great idea. And then also being a great listener, to say sometimes people just need to express their feelings. You and I don't need in on what they think, but to just be a really safe person for them to talk to.
Well, thank you. It's definitely helpful because so many people need that now. And my last thing I want to say is that millions of displaced Ukrainians are now spread out around the world and placed in neighborhoods where they hardly know anyone. You have not only got all over the world to bring people love and hope, but you also do it in your own neighborhood here in San Diego. Many years ago, you started a tradition of a New Year parade. Please tell us more about it and what you think newcomers can do today to have such parades for the New Year 2025 in their new neighborhoods.
That idea of having a parade to celebrate the people around you wasn't my idea. Jesus actually talked about loving your neighbor. And so as we love our neighbors in really practical ways, if we're lucky enough to have Ukrainian friends as our neighbors, that would be great and to celebrate them. There's some people at Love Does that you know that deliver food and do some other things for our Ukrainian friends here in San Diego. But wherever you are, to find some way to express love. So if you want to bake somebody a pie or a cookie or wash their car, unless it's an expensive car, then I don't wash those. But if the car is as beat up as my car is, just getting a little bit dirt off, hey, that would be great. So finding ways. And in my faith tradition, there was a fellow named Paul who wrote to his friend, and he said, the only thing that matters is your faith expressed in love. And so that's been a guiding principle for me. So it isn't just having just love in your heart for people, but to actually express what you deeply believe with action. Because action is the only way to kind of convert love from a feeling into something that might be a little bit more useful to somebody else. So I've seen the Ukrainian community demonstrate that. I've seen you guys demonstrate how you love the people around you well. And so I think that that's going to be our answer. We'll just keep loving our neighbor, and then there'll be some people that are governing nations that will be making some decisions about what's going to happen there. But we don't need to let them make all the decisions for us. So we're just going to love people. And we'll stand up for what is right and fair, and we'll stand against people that want to hurt others. But that would just be another expression of love.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Bob, for your time all this encouragement and everything you do for our...
It's an honor to be just talking to you because You and your terrific husband have just made such an impact in the world and in our lives. And so just keep doing that. Just keep loving people.
Thank you. You are our inspiration. We love you guys. Please say hello for Sweet Maria from us.
I will.
A good trip. Yes.
I will. Thank you very much. Okay.
Welcome.
Have a great day.
Thank you
for talking.
Yes, you too. Bye.